So, Simmers.
Welcome to Speaking Simlish, where we talk about everything The Sims.
From the latest news to our favourite packs, we deep dive into every way this game has shaped our lives.
So, Amy, what do you want to talk about today?
So, I thought that we'd just tackle a really light, easy topic, like the entire history of The Sims.
Yeah, we can knock that out in fucking 45 minutes.
Yeah, done. No problem at all. It didn't involve any kind of research, months of sitting on it because of anxiety about recording such a big topic or anything like that.
No, and we are absolutely professionals in this game, and we have every authority to talk about the history of The Sims.
Yeah, Will Wright is my best friend.
Actually, he's my grandfather.
Yeah.
Anyways, before we jump into that,
my grandfather is the name of this episode.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can't believe I'm best friends with your granddad.
It's kind of weird, but you know.
You know.
That's how we met. Speaking of, in our introductory episode, we never touched on how Amy and I met.
Mm. Yep.
Which, you know, might be important for introductions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because we've known each other a while.
We have. Do you want to tell the audience how did we meet?
Yeah, sure. So I came over to America to study abroad and then came back again for my MA. I never met you in that year where we studied at the same place in the same degree when I was studying abroad. But we did meet when I came back to get my MA in our joined MA program. And we also happened to do exactly the same concentration. And we also happened to have exactly the same job.
We did. And even though you came for a year when we were both in our undergrads, mm-hmm. and we had the exact same class together,
mm-hmm.
and did not meet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But so flying by to grad school,
mm-hmm.
we met in, I guess, in our introduction, that little summer meeting.
Yeah, like where we had to make an egg basket and then like toss it off of a wall or something. Was it that one?
Yeah, and I did great.
I think I did all right as well.
I remember our egg not breaking. I did it with the other two part of our four friend group.
Yes.
Shout out Jesse and Catherine, who better be listening.
And if they're not, then they're dead to us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's how we met. I think that maybe we said something like, hello, you have nice makeup, do you play The Sims? And then that was it.
Essentially.
Which is every conversation that we have now as well, actually.
Yeah. You look really nice today. I love your makeup. What did you do in The Sims this week? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that's why we don't talk to each other any other time now, apart from when we record the podcast. We just save everything for this. We literally never speak anymore, and we're barely friends.
No, this is just a professional relationship at this point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually can't stand her.
That's why now I'm just best friends with your granddad, Will Wright.
My granddad, Will Wright. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of the conversations that we always have, we were mulling around some ideas of how do we want to like introduce every episode? Because that's something I think both of us have kind of struggled with. There's so many times where we just look at each other after we've done our little soul and we're like, cool, who speaks now? So we thought we might bring into the beginning of every episode just checking in with each other's Sims game. So what's happening in your game?
Yeah, so yesterday morning, I only play on the weekends just because I have a day job and I go to bed really early because I wake up really early and I don't have much time in the evening for games. So I mostly play on the weekends. And yesterday I sat down at my computer and I was like, all right, I'm going to play some Sims. I know we're recording on Sunday. So I kind of want to get into that Sims mindset. And I was downloading some custom content. I downloaded some new food items from Little Bo Bubs, who has that big cookbook, Granny's Cookbook. Definitely look her up. It has made my game so much more enjoyable from a food standpoint.
What did it come with?
literally like so many hundreds of different foods, from like cakes and stuff to just like fettuccine alfredo is one that I always end up making my sons. Then I'm just like, why isn't this in the game?
Right.
Just like random stuff that you're like, yes, I would like for my Sims to eat this.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I get in game and I look down at my phone and I see that you had texted me, hey, can you take some cottagecore pictures for the gram? And I was like, oh, I should do that before I actually play or I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in game and I took some pictures, you know, made some sets, flitted around Windenburg. And then I was like, I don't want to play The Sims 4 anymore. So I quit. And I decided to fire up The Sims 2. And let me tell you, that game is just so good. It's so much better.
What's your family right now? Or are you building? Or what are you doing?
So I play rotationally when I play The Sims 2, just because there isn't really a story progression or like a time, like timing that moves between families. So you kind of have to play each individual household to make them all like live at the same speed. So I played in, I really love is it Desiderata? What's the one that came with apartments?
Apartments? With the Bella statue.
Yeah.
Belladonna Cove?
Fuck yeah. Belladonna Cove.
Yeah.
Not Desiderata, that's from Free Time. I really love Belladonna Cove. I really added on to that main neighborhood and added some like custom subhoods. So I kind of just flitted around different families. One family, it was a single girl, and I got her married to one of her coworkers. And then immediately he got fired because I suck at chance cards and I don't actually read them. I just like roll a dice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, odd it's first option, even it's the second. 9 times out of 10, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. The Sims 2 is pure chaos in that way.
And that's just like, I like playing chaotically.
Mm-hmm.
So he got fired, and that really sucked because they had a baby on the way. Because I play with the autonomous casual romance.
Mm-hmm.
And that means my Sims are always fucking.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not keeping an eye on them, they are fucking. And I also have, I think it comes with like a risky woohoo. So not only are they always fucking, they're always pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So that got chaotic. I finished the season and I moved on to another family in the shopping district. And I just kind of played like that, you know, played each subhood, a family for a season. And it was really fun. And I've missed The Sims 2, I think.
So, I couldn't even tell you the last time I booted up The Sims 2. It's been so long.
It's a wild ride.
I was one of the lucky people that actually got it when it was free on Origin before they got rid of it forever. You know, like mm-hmm. the complete
I also pack. Got it when it was free.
I'm so glad that I did. It wasn't even a question in my mind. I was like, absolutely, I'll keep that even if I don't install it. Or I just want it in my Origin game library forever. Because I've definitely over the years lost all of my discs. Like, I'm not really sure where they are anymore for The Sims 2.
I sold mine. Oh. I sold mine to afford The Sims 3 packs.
Oh. Because
I was a teenager and I was poor.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to play Sims 3 now.
Yeah. Baller move, though. Sims 3 is dope.
I do love The Sims 3. It just runs like crap on my computer right now, and I don't have the energy to fix it.
Have felt like that for the entire time that The Sims 3 has existed. Yeah, and that's where I'm at right now, too, with my current desktop.
Yeah, please tell me more, because I know as soon as I said it runs like crap, I was like, oh, segue, Amy, how's your game going?
The last time I played, I was trying to take some cute little pictures for our gram again. Doing everything for the gram these days. Please follow us at Speaking Simlish Pod. Good plug. And it was the holiday weekend here in America. It was the 4th of July. So I thought, let's take some cute little like firework pictures or something with our little Sim selves. And I thought, well, it would be cute if we went to Myshuno Meadows. But also I wanted to use a better Myshuno Meadows than the games one, like the EA built one. So I was trying to put in Little Simsies one, and I successfully placed it from the gallery. Then I was trying to put fireworks down, and that was just a whole thing. I couldn't find any, and I put on both of the debug cheats, you know, show hidden objects and show live edit objects. I still couldn't fucking find them. So if they're in there, I don't know where they are. And you also can't clone fireworks with the eyedropper tool. So I pressed that eyedropper tool. It was like, nah. And then it crashed.
And I love that for you.
That has happened. I could count it on one hand with The Sims 4. Like, it just doesn't happen because this game is designed to be run by anything. Like, it's running somewhere on like a Windows 98 computer, I feel like.
You could run The Sims 4 on a TI-98 calculator.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. I will not elaborate.
And I was just really bummed. I had to hard reboot off my entire desktop, and it was really sad. But the last time I actually played and was doing stuff, I had a whole little save file going to test Dream Home Decorator. And I do this every time. Like, when there's a new pack, sometimes I'll start over, and then I end up falling in love with those Sims, and I was getting that way with her, you know? She was definitely going to marry, like, an old man from Windenburg, the Villa Royale's patriarch.
Yeah.
And then just have his giant house, you know? And then also she had the friend of the animals aspiration, so I just wanted her to have, like, cats everywhere in that giant mansion on an island. It really would have been dish fulfillment for me.
Yeah. Very chaotic.
Yeah, yeah. Marry a rich older man, inherit his mansion, and fill it with cats was really the direction my life was on before I met my husband. So that was a lot of fun. And I also have been playing Legacy Family for the first time ever. I've never done that before, ever. And I'm only on my second generation, and I can feel myself getting bored. That's my problem.
Yeah, I have a hard time playing with families in The Sims 4.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't enjoy it because there's nothing for children and teens to do, which is a complaint many, many players have.
Yes. I wonder whether this next patch, coming out Tuesday, right? So we're recording on a Sunday right now, so we only have a couple of days until the patch for cottage living comes out, adding in some kids activities, gardening, cooking, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that'll be real cute.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see a toddler hug a chicken.
Oh my god,
it's real cute to just think about.
I just felt my sugar levels go up.
Like,
my blood sugar
yeah just
rose.
Yeah
As if I'd eaten a donut.
Oh, nice. Rose-tinted glasses just lowering down. I've been consuming so much cottage living media via YouTube that I feel like I've been playing the game.
I'm saving it. I've been really careful not to oversaturate myself.
Mm.
Because I want to get ready to play the game so that we can review it and not have other voices in my ears, but I feel like I'm gonna break this week.
Yeah. No, don't. You've only got a short amount of time.
I know. But I have a playlist on YouTube called Cottage Living Research.
Nice. Nice. I like that you're framing it as research too.
Yeah. If it's research, I'm not wasting my life away watching
exactly.
Other people play Sims.
We're doing it for our little side hustle right here.
I'm doing it for our audience.
Mm-hmm. We do everything we do for you, dear listener.
Yes, who are waiting. Ears are ready for our dulcet tones to tell you about cottage living. But not today.
No.
Not today. Because it's the 18th?
Yes.
Yes, I got that right.
Mm-hmm.
It is the 18th, and we still have a few days until we get our hot little hands on that new pack.
Hot little hands? God, that was really Faux gras.
Have you not heard that saying? My mom says it all the time.
I can't believe Mama LaFrette out here saying hot little hands but won't let you have hot date or whatever.
I think it's because I have small hands and she's equating me to a raccoon.
Oh, little trash panda.
Little trashy hands.
Yeah.
Hot and sweaty. Gimme.
Speaking of sweaty hands.
Okay.
Should we tackle the behemoth that is the history of The Sims?
Yeah, this is an anxiety-inducing episode, as we mentioned up top.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to split it into two parts.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to start recording right here. You know, you're listening to us right now. We're going to see where we sort of max out time-wise, not to overwhelm. But this is something that we've had a couple of people request from us as, you know, our listeners, just to some people that might not be as
Sim savvy.
Yeah, sim savvy, or maybe didn't start with the first iteration, all of that kind of stuff. So our history of The Sims, we want to explain each iteration, right? The history of it, where it came from, all of that kind of stuff. But we'll probably also, because we can't help ourselves, make it all about us. So that's why we think it might need to be split into two parts.
And we're making it about us because that's why you're here. You want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Yes.
You want to hear it from us. That's why you're listening to us and not some other news source.
The Sims bitches.
The Sul girls.
No.
Speaking similar.
No, not the Sul girls. No, Emma, call me that.
I'm losing my goddamn mind. That's going to be edited out.
That's fine. And to start, should we just list the places that we got our research from?
Yeah, let's do that. Finding research for this was actually really fun. And I got it from a few sources. I started, of course, with Wikipedia. Just for a nice little rounded out version of what the history of The Sims is. I also looked at Berkeleyside, an article by Tracy Taylor. Polygon, an article by Adam Barnes, an article from the University of Hawaii Press, volume 38 by Julie Rack, an article from IGN by Jim Riley, and then an electronics press release about the game turning 10. So there is my research.
Plagiarizing.
I am not plagiarizing. Mm-hmm. These are not my thoughts.
These are not a few of your incredible thoughts. That's a deep cut Lonely Island reference just for my husband. Let's carry on.
Hi, Alex.
So let's start with, what is The Sims?
What indeed? So, The Sims, if you have never played, is a game where you have people called Sims. And you get to play out their lives. You can either give them their dream lives with a lofty career, a beautiful house and family, or you can completely fucking ruin them. You can give them trash everywhere, shit job, no friends. It is completely up to you.
Mm-hmm. I think they call that like a sandbox simulation, yeah. Right?
Yeah. The current tagline for the game is play with life, and that is truly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You are playing with other people's lives, essentially.
Right.
It's that sense of freedom that is what Sims players really play the game for.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and often, I mean, we've even talked about it on our podcast, our first episode, and this is something that in your research, you know, you even unearthed from Will Wright, the idea that it is a virtual dollhouse. So, you know, Barbies, Bratz, whatever, those kinds of things, make them pixelated, put them into your computer. That's kind of what you're experiencing here. There is no start and end like a traditional game that you might think of. they are born and they die, but what happens in that middle part is really up to you.
Exactly. The only way that you end the game is if all of your Sims in that family dies. But you just go back to the neighborhood and you either create or pick a new family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you also get like a little snarky note saying that you're meant to keep your Sims alive. Sorry that I had to have that trauma of watching my Sims self burn to death. Okay. Sorry. So a little bit of a background of, so that is what The Sims is, but the history of it as a game that is developed. We start with Maxis, right? And Will Wright?
We do. So Will Wright created the popular, my grandfather, yes. Mm-hmm. Also, listeners, we are joking. He is not my actual grandfather. I feel like I need to say that.
No, don't. Well, I'm not backing down on my claim that he's my best friend. I refuse.
That's fine. I'm stupid. Sometimes I actually believe what people say.
No, that's nice.
Thank you. It makes me feel incredibly naive.
You believe in people. That's sweet.
Anyways, Will Wright created the very popular SimCity game, which is the predecessor to The Sims. He also created a fuck ton of other Sims franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Sim Ant, Sim... Earth? Farm, Sim Earth. There are so many Sim games before The Sims.
Mm-hmm. I think you could even akin it to like the Tycoon games as well. There's some similarities with things like Sim City and Roller Coaster Tycoon. These all kind of fall underneath that same umbrella. I loved them all.
Same. A nice sandbox game,
mm-hmm.
where the player has the freedom to build without many restrictions,
mm-hmm.
essentially. So what influenced, what inspired Will to create The Sims after doing SimCity? Well, unfortunately, he lost his home in a fire. And he lost all of his possessions, a lot of his memories. Luckily, his family and he were safe, but it was this idea of losing all of those physical possessions that inspired him to go, why are these possessions important? What is it about obtaining objects that makes life life? And so running with that idea, he came up with the idea to make a virtual dollhouse. And thus The Sims.
And the real focus on, he lost everything, but the human connection was still there, right? Him and his family were safe. So yes. you move from building these cityscapes in SimCity where the people are just specs, the buildings were the focus. So when you pare down, you burn, you lose a whole building. Well, what's left? It's those little people, those little pixels in SimCity.
Those little specs.
Mm-hmm. And that's what was actually the important thing to keep safe, right? So yeah. A game based on human connection as well.
Yeah. So, and this is a quote from Tracy Taylor, Will Wright inspired to make The Sims after losing a home, the value of possessions and the promise they hold of fulfillment is something that he really took from losing his home. And taking that idea and wanting to turn it into something bigger.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Tracy.
OG. I don't know who Tracy is. I won't claim her as my best friend.
She's the best. She's great. We love her.
Okay. She can be my best friend. That's fine.
You have a lot of best friends.
Thank you.
You're very personable.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm absolutely
not. No one's
not.
Ever said that about you before.
Never in their life. No. I think there's one other thing we would want to touch on before we delve into each specific game. Mm-hmm. And it's actually where we get our namesake from, right? The language that the Sims themselves speak. Often up for debate, right? Should they have spoken real languages? Would we wanted to have heard that? A lot of CC adds in human languages into the game, right? That's definitely something people feel divided on. What I'm talking of course, here is their language, Simlish.
Yeah, and I have a great quote on that from Adam Barnes in the article, The Sims Turns 20, creator Will Wright reflects on the battle he waged to get one of the best games of all time made. So they first used test groups, and they were like, what if we use just like a foreign language that isn't, you know, widely spoken outside of the country that it originates from? And they tried like Ukrainian, Navajo, Estonian, just really diverse languages. And essentially none of it was hitting. The focus groups were like, yeah, it sounds different, but it's still going to be understandable to those players who are from those countries. We want something that is completely unique to the Sims. So they hired some voice actors, and they were from like an improv troupe. And they were like, we want you to create something that sounds like a real language, but not really. And they worked on it and essentially came up with what Simlish is today. And something interesting that I will note, I don't know if you've noticed this, Amy, but Simlish is different between each game.
Mm-hmm.
There are, of course, phrases that come that go through each iteration, but the sound of Simlish itself changes from game to game.
Yeah, and I think that's primarily because they keep telling us over and over and over again that it's not real. There's a few words, like you've said, like sorso, it always means like hello. We have nubu, which is like a baby, right? So there are those key things that we hit and we can track through the games, but it is made up. It's gibberish words. And I think what you've played on and what you talked about there is actually very important, and probably I think it's not out of the realm to say that this choice played into the success of The Sims. Even if you had used a language that was only spoken by a small population of the world, it's still spoken by that population of the world. That does not mean that it is not important, right? If you have this made-up language, everyone will find a bit of that that they can relate to whatever they speak, and it makes it more universal.
It's universal because it is
nothing
alien.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That.
There's something quite beautiful about that, that it belongs to everyone and no one.
Yeah. Simlish is the true lingua franca.
Wow. Everybody else, don't worry. We'll bring her down to our level throughout this podcast.
What, am I being too academic?
Yes.
I'm not going to stop. I need people to know that I'm smart, damn it. I have a master's degree and I'm using it.
Oh, I'm Melissa. Look at my degrees.
Oh, I'm Amy. I have the exact same degrees.
I have no respect for the English language. Let's continue.
I mean, same. It's a trash language.
Every time I see that tweet where it's like, people who speak English as a second language are amazing, because can you imagine seeing the word yacht and not giving up immediately? Because I would.
Yeah, same. I can't imagine learning English.
The worst. So anything else you want to talk about briefly, overview, what The Sims is?
Yes. So this is something I find really fascinating because I love psychology. But one of the bases for the needs of The Sims comes from Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have kind of that, like, you need shelter, food, water, you know, basic human needs. And mm-hmm. then above that, you need kind of that human connection, human relationship. And as you build on this triangle or pyramid of needs, you get to the top where it's that aspirational. What is going to help me transcend being, you know, being a Sim? What's going to make me fulfill my life goal?
Get you to that platinum level aspiration.
Yeah, which wasn't really a thing in The Sims 1,
Right.
which we'll come in on, but it's definitely become more of a thing as we get further on in the lifeline of The Sims, where you fulfill those basic needs, you make sure your Sims are watered and fed. Not really watered, they don't drink much. Except for in The Sims 4, where they're constantly getting fucking water or juice or milk from the fridge. It's very frustrating. But you make sure they're comfortable, you make sure they're sheltered. And then they tell you, I want friends. I want to do well in my job. I want to learn these skills. And eventually you get to the pinnacle of their lifetime aspiration, which is, maybe I want to bust the dust in my home. I want to make sure it's the cleanest house in the neighborhood. Sims 4. Or they want to reach the top of a career track, like in The Sims 2. And isn't that just so human?
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting point too. Isn't that so human? Because I know that when they were deciding on the needs that your sim would have, there was a lot of pushback against the development team about including the need to go for a Wii.
The toilet need, yeah.
Yeah.
It was obscene, supposedly.
Yes.
Like, why do they need to use the toilet? Which is also fascinating because modders now are putting in the ability to have a period. And a lot of players are like, well, I don't like having my period in real life. Why would I want to have it in The Sims? And it's kind of just like universal, circular.
Yes, but you want to see like those, even if it is mundane, and I think we see that with The Sims 4 a lot in the two packs that were chosen by the players, right? We had laundry day, just the ability to wash clothes. Like if you really boil it down, like that is mundane as hell. And
Oh
then
yeah.
knitting. Out of all of the skills that we could do, we chose the one where you sit still in front of a fire and it is absolutely associated with grandma's. So we want
Yeah.
these mundane things. So I can't even imagine the game without the ability to go to the toilet in it anymore. And the toilet, of course, completely iconic now. First thing that they ever made for the game, we have so many of them in every iteration.
We get a new toilet in every pack in The Sims 4, I feel. And it wouldn't be The Sims 4 without those new toilets. Let's start with the OG, the original Sims game, which came out on February 4th of 2000. And in a little over a year of the game's launch, it sold 6.3 million copies, and by 2005, sold 16 million copies worldwide, which is nothing to sneeze at.
Absolutely not. There's a reason it's the
That's
best-selling simulation game of all time, and it's because of numbers like that, of course.
absolutely. There is something about The Sims that keeps people coming to it and staying with it.
Yeah, and it plays into that really close territory of the uncanny valley, where they're enough alike us that we can relate. Removed enough that we don't feel like that weird sense of dread when things happen to them too much, we can still separate ourselves from them just a touch. And that The Sims, the original, is, when you look at the whole series, the most restrictive, of course, when you're thinking about 2000, right,
Yeah.
in making yourself, but still was enough that you're getting people hooked.
Absolutely. And speaking on those restrictions, to make your sim, you have the choice of a head and a body. That's it. You have a lot of choices. And mind you, I'm coming from a complete collection mindset where I'm seeing like all of those choices, but The Sims, the original game, still had that choice. So, you choose your head and your body, and then you move into a house, but that was it. Your Sims go to work, they go to school. They don't have weekends, they don't have,
Time off.
breaks, time off. If you want time off, you quit your job.
And another good point that you just said there, they go to school. Yeah, they're going to go to school forever because they go from a baby that you just ask your partner if you want one, and then it's delivered in a bassinet, and that baby becomes a child, and that is it.
Yeah.
So there's no, like, natural causes of death in The Sims OG.
Yeah, The Sims, they don't grow old. They don't grow at all. You just play with their life.
Yes.
Indefinitely, unless something tragic happens and they pass.
Yep, so you have the three life stages in this original one. Baby, which honestly was nothing. I know people complain about Baby Sims 4, but this is the true nothing baby. Child.
It was just like a blob of blanket.
It really was. Child, and if you don't keep up with their school, they're getting taken to military school and you'll never see them again, ever.
They are gone from the game.
Forever.
There's no, oops, I left my toddler out in the snow and it got taken by child services, but I can adopt it back in another family. No. They disappear from the game.
Yep. And there's no emotion system, which I know people have a problem with too. So that kid goes and life continues. And then you have just your regular adult life stage.
Yeah, which is where you get all of the choices. And that's where all of the gameplay really comes from, is from that adult lifestyle.
Yep.
And then another quote I want to shove in here real quick from Julie Rack in the Life Writing versus Audio Media. Choice is a really major part of the game. You, without really making it about, I don't want to say politics, but without making it a big thing, the ability to be gay and the ability to be kind of polysexual just happens.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have any kind of consequences, any kind of pushback. If you are playing a sim and you're like, I want my sim to get with a sim of the same gender.
Yep.
You can marry everybody in the neighborhood and your partners will not complain. I have done that.
Yep. And we can boil this down to the great work of game designer Patrick Barrett, who coded this without a second thought. It was just done. It wasn't a question. He wasn't asked. He just went and did that. And thank you to my brother for linking me to a Reddit post on this exact topic when he knew that we were making this little history of. So I really appreciate that. Thank you to my brother. And that's just, you think about the time 2000, and it just is. That is something common throughout all of the other iterations as well. And it has only gotten so much more inclusive.
Yes. There's still work to be done, of course, but it is a truly revolutionary game in that regard, where it was never even a question.
Mm-hmm.
It was never anything to make a big fuss about.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game is about choice and it's about freedom. So why not have the freedom to love who you love?
Yep. Anyone.
Mm-hmm. Anyone.
And choice isn't just in this form either. Choice is something that runs through every Sims franchise, and most prominently we see it through add-on content. We're talking about expansion packs for the original.
Yeah, let's get into the expansions. So The Sims had 7 expansion packs. And before, this is from my own life, before The Sims, I never really thought of a game having add-on content. You know, I would get my Nintendo game for whatever, for, you know, the GameCube or the Nintendo 64, and it was in that cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
It was in that disc. That was it. That was the extent of the game. But The Sims, in my tiny life, really changed the idea of what a game could be, and that it could be so much more open than even what the developers had intended originally. So what did they add on to the OG Sims?
They added Live in Lodge, House Party, The Forbidden Pack, Hot Date. Vacation, Unleashed, Superstar, oh, an amazing pack, and Making Magic, the true OG best expansion pack.
Oh my god, Making Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that warm nostalgia just saying the name.
So looking at these are all themes that we'll see time and time again in the expansion packs for each iteration, right? Again, like you had said, just looking at them, listening to them, even if you haven't played it, you can probably tell that the additions are for that adult life stage.
Mm-hmm.
Most every bit of gameplay that it's adding is for them. You just think about Living Large and House Party, to me, are like the same pack. I can barely tell you what was in each one, if I'm honest. They mesh so closely together. Hot Date is really in that same vein as well. I feel like if we had those three packs back to back in four, people would lose their goddamn shit.
I'm gonna fight you on that, just coming from The Sims as it is in its original iteration. Hot Date is game changing.
I feel like once we got to three, people would have expected all of those to be one pack.
Oh, absolutely. But for the original game, The Sims 1, being able to go out to a fucking restaurant and go on a date.
Bowling.
Outside of my home.
Yes. Cars, right?
Has not happened. No. No cars in The Sims 1.
Two.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't think bowling was in The Sims 1.
Wasn't it? I thought in Hot Date you could go for a little bowl.
I think it's Nightlife.
Oh, Nightlife. OG pack. Beautiful pack.
So good.
Unleashed. Good pack.
A very good pack. Unleashed is my second favorite Sims 1 pack.
Ooh, Superstar.
I didn't get Superstar until The Sims Complete Collection came out.
Hmm.
And I don't think I've even had a global Superstar to this day.
Oh no, I never did. So The Sims is really hard.
It's too hard.
I can't max out like anything on this game.
The Sims 1 is very hard.
If my Sims are alive, I'm having a good day, you know? Superstar was so interesting, and I think I look at it with sometimes rose-tinted glasses, because in everything that they release now, people get so mad. Like, is there really much of a difference between Avril Lavigne being in Superstar and Katy Perry Sweet Treats? Like, I'm not really sure that there fully is.
There's a little, but no, I do agree that it's very weird to see real life people in The Sims.
Yes. Also, I don't know any of them when they add them in anymore. That's how I know I'm getting old.
Yeah, same. from the summer sessions, I was not familiar with any of the artists that they put in.
No.
It's fun still.
They added that one townie to the celebrity pack that came with Del Sol.
Baby Larry. Ariel.
Yeah.
Baby Ariel, right?
Yeah, don't know who she is to this day. So that's how I know that these aren't for me anymore. But just for the perspective of people that do get very annoyed when they do like their celebrity crossovers, this has been happening forever.
Yeah.
And it's for you or it's not. And the idea of an expansion pack, and I know that you personally, up until Journey to Batuu, have openly said you are a completionist. Like, you feel like the DLC is an optional for you, that it is something that you have to complete your game. I don't believe that they intended expansion packs to work like that at all. I truly do believe that they released them with the idea of choice, which is how we started this whole talk, in mind. That if you are someone who likes the occult, here's Making Magic. You want your Sim to be a celebrity, here's Superstar. You need that cute-ass Dalmatian and a parrot and a turtle, here is Unleashed. You know?
You want to take your Sim's family on vacation? Here's Vacation.
Yep.
Yeah, they were not prepared for the insanity of human.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just that kind of like, if it's out there, I need it.
Yes. Yep. And I have not really been that way either, where I needed everything. I think that I had every single one of these packs, though, because not that I bought them each individually, but because I had the deluxe edition, it just came with the first ones anyway. Mm-hmm. So I did end up having everything. I didn't intentionally purchase every single one. It just ended up that way that I'd had them all because of the deluxe edition packaging them together. Everything felt, when I look back, every single pack feels really important to my game.
Same. I can't imagine. I would love to be able to go back and play The Sims 1. I'm not ready to embark on that kind of computer journey to rig up a way to play it because it is so old. It's not supported by newer builds. But looking back, I would have to play with a complete collection.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Great game. Anything else Iconic. You want to talk about with the original Sims and how unique it was for the time?
Custom content. Let's talk about that custom content. So not only do you have the developers putting out extra content, it's opened up for the community as well. Mm-hmm. And this is not something unique to The Sims, of course, but from my perspective, it's unique to video games for me. Again, before The Sims, I really hadn't played anything with that kind of freedom. I played, again, you know, the Nintendo 64, Nintendo GameCube games, everything is right in there on that cartridge. But being able to go online and say, I would really like a new couch for my Sims. I've used all the couches that are in the game. And there's a couch that I saw in some catalog. I would love to be able to put that in my game. And someone did it. Mm-hmm. People are making wild, wild objects and mods for these games. And I don't know if it was open. The developers were like, hey, do this. I don't know if it was really like pushed. I didn't see anything in my research saying like, oh yeah, the developers really wanted people to add onto the game. Mm-hmm. But the option was there.
That's something very uniquely PC gaming, I feel like, as well. Like you're saying, you know, obviously it can be done. People do it all the time for consoles. But it is just so much easier to do it for desktop games. It invites itself to have a community that invests perhaps more time into crafting the game exactly as they want it than even the developers end up putting into it. You know, like truly building objects for a game that you didn't even code to begin with. All of that is just so incredibly beyond me. Like it's beyond my skill set entirely. I can't even fathom it. I didn't use custom content or anything like that for the original Sims. That was a Sims 2 thing for me. And just really went to town. but it's a wonderful thing.
The amount of goth custom content for The Sims 1, incredible. Just iconic early 2000s goth. I had it all. I had everything I could get my hot little hands on. Which
stop.
I will not.
Please stop.
I will not. Again, going back to our first episode, thank you to my father for sitting down with me and helping me figure out how to download custom content for this game.
Because you couldn't type with your hot little hands.
I just couldn't figure it out. I would read it and it wouldn't make sense. And I was like, Dad, I need you to translate this into child.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We were pretty young when this game came out as well. So really, I took everything at face value as well. Like if that was how the game was running, that was how the game was running. You know, no thoughts, just vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No thoughts, just me and my notebook of insanity.
Yes.
What is each family doing? What do I need to know when next time I jump in game?
Yes. And I think this is more of an overarching history of each game, like talking about the background and behind the scenes stuff. We definitely intend to jump into each game, like detailing the base games, you know, expansion packs, everything like that in more detail. So don't worry about that. We know that this is definitely high level. We will be jumping into more detail at a later time on each game, because even you just talking about the goth custom content, I'm like, let's talk about the goths, but let's save it.
Yeah, well, in due time, we'll get to it.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, moving on, the year is 2004.
Time jump.
Let's jump right into September 14th, 2004. We get our second iteration of The Sims. The Sims 2.
Imaginative name.
Hey, man. We're not here for unique names. This is what we are getting. You're getting The Sims, and you're getting it again.
Yes, and you're getting it on 4 discs. Fuck you.
But Amy, let's really think about the jump from The Sims to The Sims 2. Holy shit, that game is different.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Biggest jump? I think it might be.
It has to be.
2 to 3, incredible. Not as big as this.
And in 4 years.
4 years.
4 years.
Oh.
Look at what they did in 4 years. Okay, I'm getting excited. What's different about The Sims 2 from The Sims?
Everything.
let's start with The Sims. You can change their hair. You can change their face. You can choose their eye color. You can choose what their nose, their mouth, their face shape looks like. You can choose if they're fat or slim.
Yep.
Skin color. You can change every outfit. You have not just, you know, I turn around when I'm getting married to get in a wedding dress, and then I go back into my clothes that I wear every single day of my fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
You have outfits for sleeping that you can choose. You have outfits for working out. You have swimwear that you choose. Not only that, you're picking zodiac signs.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting makeup on them. You're choosing, well, not until nightlife, but what they look for in a partner.
Zodiac signs was nightlife too. So we'll just talk about it.
Really? Thank you.
We'll talk about each game at its end, like the completeness of that game. This is what you got.
Yeah. And then going back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you pick their aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
What does your Sim live their life for?
Mm.
And at the beginning of The Sims, you had 5 aspirations. You had family, knowledge, fortune. Popularity. Huh?
Fortune.
Fortune, and family, knowledge, fortune, popularity, romance?
Romance,
that's 5.
Pleasure
came with nightlife, yes.
Yeah.
6. And...
Sorry, I'm 10. Please go.
This is going, what you choose is going to indicate how your Sim wants to live their life,
mm-hmm.
because now your Sims have wants and fears.
Mm-hmm.
You're not living just to fulfill, you know, hunger, comfort. Mm-hmm. How does my living space look? Your Sim now wants things. It may be as simple as wanting a stereo to, I want to see the ghost of that woman who I got into a fight with at the park.
Love it. So petty.
Mm-hmm.
The pettiest Sims can be found in Sims 2.
The Sims 2 takes the chaos of The Sims 1 and amps it up to 11.
Yeah. Yes. It's still really difficult to keep them alive as well. Their needs are hard.
Oh, but they do such a good job of keeping themselves alive.
Yes.
I played yesterday, and I was blown away by how quickly they responded to their own needs.
Mm-hmm.
My Sim's like, I have to pee, and just goes, and then fixes herself a sandwich. And I was like, okay.
And even though they're good at looking after themselves, consequences are real as well if you let things get low. And obviously, there's the obvious ones. If you're tired, they're going to pass out. If they're hungry, they're going to die. If they need to go to the toilet, they're going to pee themselves, that kind of thing. But even the more abstract kind of concepts of needs, like social
Yes.
and fun, like the social bunny, for example, amazing. You
So
know,
creepy.
the
It's
therapist that pops
disgusting.
down,
Oh,
amazing.
yeah. If you're not doing well enough keeping their aspirations up, they're not enjoying their life, they will get a therapist to kind of sort them out.
And again, that's so abstract, the idea of your aspiration, the idea of aspiration failure is what we called it, right?
Yes.
So even so, you have the real world consequences of life versus death, but you also have the real world consequences of enjoying your life and not.
Yeah, so if again, if you're playing to make your Sims life a living hell, you can just fulfill those fears, baby. Fire. My dog's chewing up my furniture.
Left at the
I
altar.
lost left at the altar. I lost some money in a bad stock.
Yeah, I'm a romance sim and I just had a baby.
I'm a romance sim and I got married. It's been a long time since I sat down and really like had a heart to heart with The Sims 2. What a game.
Such a good game.
What a game. What a change. So another change we had from The Sims 1 is instead of the one neighborhood you had 12-ish times, so you had 12 different saves, but it was all the same neighborhood. You had three neighborhoods, all distinct. You had Pleasant View, which had, a bunch of like sitcom TV drama-esque storylines. You had Veronaville, which takes from Shakespeare. What the
My
fuck? And then you had Strangetown, which is like a sci-fi fucked up
favorite.
desert world. Strangetown's my favorite.
So fucked up. Like, don't get me started on nervous subject. Like, he needs his whole own podcast from us. That poor man.
A whole episode on the iconic Sims of The Sims 2.
Yeah. That could be a series. Don't even, I could go off. But think what we're getting at here. And again, we told you we keep this high level. What we're sort of digging at here is the idea of lore and
Yes.
backstories. So we had iconic families in Sims 1. We mentioned it a touch, like the Goth family, right? And Betty and Bob Newby, the tutorial family, that kind of stuff. The Sims 2 takes us in a time jump. 25 years into the future.
Yes.
And we have some of those same people, but say, for example, in The Sims 1, Mortimer and Bella are adults. They have one daughter, always a child, Cassandra, right? We
Yes.
jump 25 years. We have Mortimer as an elder because we have toddler, child, teen, adult, young adult added in university, elder, death, natural
We
death.
are, and babies, of course.
Babies, of course, but they kind of move a bit. They're all right.
Again, not, they're babies for 3 days.
Yeah.
It's
You can't
not,
make them in Cass.
yeah.
And that's the time jump that we're having. So you think about Mortimer as an adult in one, he's now an elder in two. And
Bella's
the
fucking gone.
Bella's gone.
Bella's fucking gone. I'm sorry. The lore, and again with the choice, you don't have to engage with the lore. If you want to just create your family and live out whatever fantasy your heart desires, do so.
Yeah.
Fuck the pre-mades.
Yeah, you know, I like nowadays I don't really fuck with the pre-mades. In two I did, because it kind of encouraged you. You could load into each world in a specific order, play rotationally, like Melissa was talking about at the top of this podcast, where that's kind of how you keep things progressing evenly throughout your neighborhood, is to play rotationally. And what that actually means is I'm going to load into this household with these Sims and I'm going to play them for a predetermined amount of time. Melissa at the beginning said she played for a whole season. So that is obviously dependent on the Sims 2 seasons pack being installed.
Yes.
And playing for summer, for example, stop, load into another one, play for summer, and keep going in a circle, right? Until you loop back around to your original family.
And a season is about 7 days.
Yeah, I think that that's about the same.
It's like a sim week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, sim week. And all of that, I just, yeah.
Speaking of, we have weeks now.
Yes, and time.
There's time. Time makes more of a difference in The Sims 2. When you're working, you have days off. Your children don't go to school on Saturday and Sunday. So you have time to focus on your Sims' hobbies and the things they want. They're not totally focused in on, mm-hmm. gotta keep myself alive, gotta go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, gotta keep myself alive, gotta go to work, gotta make sure I'm happy.
Yep. And the happiness thing also alters by the age that your Sim is. So there's things that you'll only do as a toddler. There are things that you'll only do as a child, things you'll only do as a teen, right through all the way up. You know, young adult for this pack is tied exclusively to the university pack. If you do not go to university, you jump from being a teen to an adult to an elder. If you go to university, you go teen, young adult, adult. Elder, but everything is so locked, clothes locked by each age group as well. And this is where I tore up custom content, because every single teenager needed to be an emo like me.
Same. Again, with those subcultures.
Yes.
As you're aging, I had so much goth shit again.
Yep.
So much weird Japanese anime clothing when I was in my little weeaboo phase,
mm-hmm.
making Naruto and The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Naruto and Sasuke are kissing. You made real people. I made anime characters.
Yes. I made myself so many times in The Sims.
Oh, same.
And she had every My Chemical Romance CC t-shirt I could find.
Oh man, I know we've touched on this before, but those emo scene hairstyles that you could get
with the dramatically parted to one side hair fringe over like one eye, floofed up at the back, it's got like weird kinds of dye all over the place. Perfection.
I may not have been able to do it in real life, but my Sims mm-hmm. were the scene queen I wanted to be.
Yes, if it was alpha, I was downloading it.
I did not know the difference between Alpha and Maxis Match at that time. If it was custom content and it looked even the remotest bit to my interests, it was in my game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I was downloading it recklessly. Probably infected my family computer with a virus.
I know I did. And I did it multiple times with the same fucking piece of custom content. Computer would be fixed. And then I'd be like, oh, I still need that, even though it had infected my computer before. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Just to go on record, we apologize to our families.
But now we have a semi-successful podcast.
Yeah, exactly. People listen to us about The Sims, so really, was it worth having to pay however much you had to pay to get the virus off the computer? Yeah, it was.
Was it worth spending hours figuring out yourself, Pat? With also
sorry,
me
not
sitting
sorry.
With you? Because I did it, so I have to watch?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, and oh man. Oh,
we talked about it, this game, including all of the packs. So let's quickly run through those.
Yeah, and with The Sims 2, we have the addition of a new type of pack, which is the stuff pack. So let's start with those. A stuff pack is essentially what it's called. It adds stuff. It adds just clothing and hair and objects. It's stuff to decorate your Sims, decorate their houses. Mm-hmm. So we have 9 in total. We have Family Fun, Glamour Life, Happy Holiday, Celebration, H&M Fashion, Necessary, sorry, Teen Style, Kitchen and Bath Interior Design, IKEA Home, also Necessary, and Mansion and Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on, we also have 8 expansion packs. Amy, go ahead.
University, Queen, Nightlife, Open for Business, oh, OG pack, Pets, oh my God. Seasons, Bon Voyage, because we're not going on vacation anymore. We French now. Free Time and Apartment Life.
Oh my God.
Okay, just... I didn't have everything. This was my breakaway. I didn't need all of these stuff packs. I didn't have kitchen and bath interior design, and I didn't have mansion and garden. Although mansion and garden, I remember because I was jealous. That was the very last pack that came out for mm-hmm. The Sims 2, which weird flex to end on a stuff pack. I think I've always thought that was a weird flex, but it had that gorgeous staircase.
Oh, I know.
Where it like branched off into 2 different directions because it was for mansions. Like I'm constantly building or trying to, and then I get bored and give up big houses in The Sims 4 and trying to use the stair tools as it is in 4 to make these grand staircases just doesn't work as well as the smooth lines that mansion and garden staircase had. I'll put it up on our Instagram
when the
episode goes live for those that haven't seen it because perfection. So, Melissa, I've just said I didn't have every single one. Did you?
So, looking back, I actually think I didn't have all the stuff packs.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, my parents were really like, you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do remember begging for IKEA stuff.
But you didn't get it?
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
It's necessary.
Yeah. It is necessary.
IKEA stuff is so necessary. Same with H&M.
Yes.
Like, the clothes in that. And the objects in IKEA, when I play today, I still use religiously.
So let's pause there for a second, because what you just said is really interesting. And again, I can't help but as we talk about these older packs, knowing that we were children playing them and how we feel about collaboration seems very dicey in these more recent iterations of The Sims. But I had no problem with H&M fashion stuff. I was peak age. I was in my H&M fashion, like, period of my life where I was like, I want this 10 quid top and it has slogans all over it that I don't understand. Because that was H&M back in the day, guys. It wasn't like what it is now. Then IKEA Home, obviously, everyone had IKEA furniture, like, loved it.
So I actually was not familiar with IKEA until the game.
Americans.
I did not go to IKEA for the first time until I was in university.
Yes. But in all fairness, there's one in this entire state that we live in, I think, right?
Yeah. There were almost 2, but then it didn't happen.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It was going to be just down the street from me, and I'm really sad because I wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love IKEA.
Same. It's really helpful when you have a house.
Yes. You get a house and people are like, oh, so where are you going to like get your furniture from? I'm like, yeah, still IKEA. Still IKEA.
I'm sorry. I have to furnish an entire house now. Yeah. I'm either getting stuff from the thrift store or IKEA.
Yes.
A little bit of Target sprinkled in.
Yes. I was about to say, when I'm feeling fancy, it's Target.
Hell yeah. And if I can't find it, I'm going to fucking build it.
Yes, exactly. Weird flex, I think. Happy Holiday and Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird flex to have 2 of those. But again, we run into that time and time again in The Sims, similar running packs.
Not really. Between those 2. I mean, agreed. But those 2 packs are actually very different. I had to do some research on them because I was very confused. I thought they were the same pack. Happy Holiday is basically you have like Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, and then you have some New Year's stuff sprinkled in. Celebration is actually for like birthdays and weddings.
See, I think that that's too, I still really do stand by that that should be just one fucking thing.
I was fine with it. The stuff packs in The Sims 2 were much smaller than they were in 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. Hell, I mean, in 3, in 4, they're incredible.
They're very good in 4. I will give them that. Like, just looking at the family fun, the first one, there's not very much in there.
I loved that one, though.
Oh, my God, same. I love that stuff pack. And I used it so much.
Mm-hmm. Teen for my Style?
Teen Style I didn't have until the complete collection.
Oh, my God. I remember the trailer for Teen Style. That's how much it affected me as a human. The whole, they're twins, and their rooms are different.
Oh, my God. So good. So Disney Channel. The Sims 2, what a pack. What a game.
Yes. Is there anything else that we've missed high level about the difference from 1 to 2?
Not off the top of my head. I know we'll get into more differences as we deep dive into each pack.
Mm-hmm.
But what, just a completely different game.
Yes. And I think the expansion packs for 1 were great. And as you expressed in your run through, they did open up new places for you to travel to.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Sims 2 was like this whole different ballpark for that, though. The expansions added other places for you to live.
Yes. Speaking of living, you were not restricted to those 3 towns
mm-hmm.
that you started off with. You could make as many towns as you wanted. And I made so many.
Yeah.
I still make so many.
But they were also wonderfully idiot-proof, too. And I'm meaning me. I'm the
same,
idiot.
Same.
Where it was like little maps, and you could pick your terrain and all of that kind of stuff. You name it, and then you put down the lots yourself. You could get, obviously, much more in detail if you were good at it. I wasn't. That was probably my limit. For my age and just my comfort level, I might get into something a bit more complicated now. But for example, Sims 3 World Builder Tool, I opened it once and then I shut it. And that was it.
Yeah. No, it was definitely really helpful to have all the roads and stuff kind of placed down.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you wanted to create your own terrain, you could do so. There is a tool for that.
Yes. Definitely so. Your comfort level, they met you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, what a game.
So I think really for this first episode of the history of, what we're really trying to set up for you is, and this is going to sound stupid seeing as it's called The Sims, but each time The Sims is the center and the worlds kind of shift around them. And customization only grows.
Yes.
And the leap that we've just talked about here happened in 4 years and is an incredible amount of change and an incredible, like, hats off to the developers of this game. Amazing.
And I'm going to preface this with, we don't see a jump like that again. We see incredible changes. I'm not bashing the latest 2 iterations, but I don't think we will ever see a jump like that again.
Mm-hmm.
Just the technology is so good, but the technology between 2000 and 2004, life-changing, game-changing.
And that goes for anything. When you look at that period of time in general, that is the case. So, yes. Of course, games were developing at that rate, too. Like, I feel like our generation is such a strange generation that we went from no technology to all of the technology in our, like, puberty years. So as we were undergoing extreme changes, the world was undergoing extreme changes in terms of the access to technology and what that technology looked like and was capable of as well. And that is reflected that The Sims has carried over throughout that generation too.
Yes. So we're going to go ahead and end the first part here. When we pick up next time, we will have jumped another 5 years to 2009 with The Sims 3.
And simultaneously, because I'm Australian now, simultaneously jumped back in time as well. So stay tuned for what the fuck I mean there.
Alrighty. So if you would like to, and we would like you to,
no,
please
no
rate,
choice.
Review.
There's no choice.
There is, this whole podcast is about choice.
No, there's no choice. They have to. If they listened this far, it's now like literally a requirement.
We are warring states on this matter. I will stick with choice. That is what this whole episode has been about, is choice. And I'm giving you the choice. I'm asking you kindly, begging you even, to please rate, review, and subscribe to Speaking Simlish. You can follow us on Instagram at Speaking Simlish Pod.
Or Twitter at Speak Simlish Pod.
Or email us at speakingsimlishpod@gmail.com. And if you want to email us with any questions, comments, maybe even your own Sim stories, we'd love to hear them.
We really would. And we've been Speaking Simlish.
And until next time, stay simming.
Me and my friend Laura also once upon a time made a girl we hated. And in The Sims 2, do you remember there used to be those like all-in-one jumpsuits that were kind of metallic and they were really ugly?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we put her in that. And then we made ourselves super cute. And then we moved us all into a house and we made her just like tidy up after us and stuff.
What the fuck? That's so fucking weird, dude.